What happened when the white man came and slaughtered this animal of reverence?
That was a sacramental violation. I mean, in the 80s, when the buffalo hunt was undertaken, you know,
Kit Carson,
Buffalo Bill, and so forth. When I was a boy, whenever we went for sleigh rides, we had a buffalo robe. Buffalo robes all over the place. This was the sacred animal of the Indian. These hunters go out with repeating rifles and shoot down the whole herd and leave it there. They take the skin to sell and the body's left to rot. This is a sacrilege. And it really is a sacrilege.
It turned the buffalo from a thou
to an it.
The Indians addressed the buffalo as thou, an object of reverence.
The Indians addressed life as a thou. I mean, trees, and stones, and everything else. You can address anything as a thou, and you can feel the change in your psychology as you do it. The ego that sees a thou is not the same ego that sees an it. Your whole psychology changes when you address things as an it.
Whether it's a woman.
And when you go to war with the people, the problem of the newspapers is to turn those people into its so that they're not thous.
That was an incredible moment in the evolution of American society when the buffalo was slaughtered. That was the final exclamation point behind the destruction of the Indian civilization, because you were destroying...
Can you imagine what this experience must have been for a people within 10 years to lose their environment, to lose their food supply, to lose the object, the central object of their ritual life?
So it is in your belief that it was in this period of hunting man and woman, the time of hunting man, that human beings began to sense a stirring of the mythic imagination, the wonder of things that they didn't know.
There is this burst of magnificent art and all the evidence you need of a mythic imagination in full career.
You visited some of the great painted caves.
Oh, yes.
Tell me what you remember when first you looked upon those underground caves.
Well, you didn't want to leave. Here you come into an enormous chamber. Like a great cathedral with these animals painted. And they're painted with a life like the life of a ink on silk in the Japanese painting. And when you realize the darkness is inconceivable. We're there with electric lights, but in a couple of instances, the concierge, the man who was showing us through, turned off the lights, and you were never in darker darkness in your life. It was like just a complete knockout of, you don't know where you are, whether you're looking north, south, east, or west. All orientation is gone, and you're in a darkness that never saw the sun. Then they turn the lights on again, and you see these gloriously painted animals. A bull that will be 20 feet long, and painted so that the haunches will be represented by a swelling in the rock. You know, they take account of the whole thing. It's incredible.
Do you ever look at these primitive art objects and think not of the art, but of the man or woman standing there painting or creating? I find that's where I speculate.
This is what hits you when you go into those caves, I can tell you that. What was in their mind when they were doing that? And that's not an easy thing to do. And how did they get up there? And how did they see anything? And what kind of light did they have? Little flashing torches throwing flickering things, and then to get something of that grace and perfection. And with respect to the problem of beauty, is this beauty intended, or is it something that is the natural expression of a beautiful spirit? You know what I mean?
Mm.
When you hear a bird sing, the beauty of the bird's song, is this intentional? In what sense is it intentional? But it's the expression of the bird, the beauty of the bird's spirit, you might almost say. And I think that way very often about this art. To what degree was the intention of the artist what we would call aesthetic, are in what, to what degree expressive, you know, and to what degree something that they simply had learned to do that way. It's a took a point. When a spider makes a beautiful web, the beauty comes out of the spider's nature, you know, it's instinctive beauty. And how much of the beauty of our own lives is of our, the beauty of being alive, and how much of it is a conscious intentional, that's a big question.